United Methodists have been, our heritage was founded upon people who were moved to love and pray and heal and serve and praise, using their gifts to make disciples, to transform the world. But it's just not a have been. It is who we are called to continue to be, that we are to be people using our spiritual gifts for the world that is searching for hope and vision and new life. They're searching for transformation. They're searching for Jesus. This week, I read about a United Methodist young woman doing just that. Ruby Kate was her name, and she would spend a good deal of her summer time with her mother, who was a nurse practitioner, traveling around to different nursing homes and facilities as she was off for the summer, and her mom still had to work. And the summer after fifth grade, Ruby Kate, while on one of those routine visits, had her heart stirred as she looked into the eyes of one of the people that lived there, and she just saw sadness in the woman's eyes. She wanted to lift the spirits of that woman, to lift the spirits in of all the people, and her desire was to let them experience and to have joy, not heartache, and not the sadness that she saw that day. She put this desire together with the fact that most of the residents in the nursing homes where her mother went were on Medicare, and after their room and their board and their food and things were paid for, they had about $40 a month that was their own to spend and to decide what they wanted to do with that. So she came up with this idea. So she took an old notebook left over from school. She hadn't used all the pages in the notebook, and she made her own little chart there. You know, who needs the computer? You don't always have to have a tablet or a laptop or anything. Just take the old notebook. And she began making this chart of things that the residents wanted. And so she went and asked each of them for three wishes. What are your three wishes? What do you want? And she found that they just wanted some simple things that could be picked up at any local store. They wanted things like those listed on the sheet, soda and snacks, because they were tired of the food that they were eating every day, and they wanted something new and fresh. That even like little things like Vienna sausages, some of them wanted, just something different, maybe something that they had had in their childhood or grew up with, or just a little fresh snack that they wanted. One had said that she had not had a fresh strawberry in 8 years. And so that was it. That's what she wanted, fresh strawberries, just a little package of strawberries brought to her. Some of them liked baby dolls. They found that it gave them comfort to hold the baby dolls. One day, Happy Meals were brought into all of them. So 100 Happy Meals brought into the residents. They asked for things like pants that fit them. I know, right? It was simple, just a pair of pants that fit you. And good books. They were tired of, like, the books that the thrift stores couldn't even sell, right? The hand-me-down, hand-me-down, hand-me-downs. They wanted, like, good books, things that they were interested in and they wanted to read. One of the locations, Ruby Kate got an assistant who spent time discovering needs with her. So this 74-year-old woman who had come to think that she was useless and had no purpose in life became her assistant in beginning to take notes of things that people wanted and beginning to watching people in their lives and overhearing conversations and writing things down that then people wanted. This grew into something bigger than she expected at first, and so her mom helped her design a Facebook page and a GoFundMe account, and to date they've raised $70,000, and they've reached people in 5 different nursing homes. As Ruby Kate has used her gifts of mercy and administration, she knew how to make that chart on that piece of loose leaf paper, administration and encouragement, lives have been changed. She is giving joy to the world. Because our spiritual gifts are just that. They're spiritual. They are given by God. And when we put them into use, lives change. That is who the church is to be. People who change the lives of the hurt and the lonely, the oppressed, the divided, because that is who Jesus is. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, did such a great job of laying this foundation for us and who we are to be as United Methodists, to be people who are moved And I think moved is that key word. We are not to sit and to look good. I mean, y'all look good, okay? Y'all look good. Well, we are not just to sit and look good and worship, but we are to be moved to love and to pray and to heal and to share and to serve and to praise. And we do all that through the power and the movement of the Spirit in our lives that not only places ideas into our hearts, but gives us then the gifts so we can fulfill those ideas that come into heart, that we can make them happen. So discovering our gift, our spiritual gift, it's important. Letting God speak to us through this sermon series about who we are, about what gifts we've been given is a key factor in our walk as disciples of Jesus Christ, discovering how God has molded us and made us, shaped us into what being he has made us to be, discovering how he wants us specifically as an individual, but as collective as the church, how he wants us to be moved to love and to pray and to heal and to share and to serve and to praise. You've been listening over these past few weeks, and you may have heard description of a gift or gifts, been awakened to some possibilities. Maybe you've been frustrated. Maybe you're like, I haven't heard a gift I have yet, or what am I supposed to do with that gift? Maybe you've been given visions, dreams, maybe a new understanding of who you are and who God has made you to be. I've appreciated this focus recently because I see then the spiritual gifts in people's lives being used. And I've come to this new appreciation of people, and how God is working in their lives and who God's created them to be. So as we add new gifts to our list today, I continue to see, as I've been even looking forward to this Sunday, I've been continuing to see these gifts in people's lives and new possibilities and new things that God is in the midst of doing. So today, the first gift that we're going to add to our list from the gifts from the list of gifts that we find in 1 Corinthians 12 is this gift of helps. Helps. This is the ability to assist behind the scenes in practical ways. This person can recognize and determine unmet needs, but then it only recognize what it is, but then they do what it takes. Take the initiative to get it done, as they quickly offer the assistance and do what needs to be done right then and there, and without any recognition. This group of people, they don't need to be recognized by anyone. They just do it. And then sometimes even just walk away, don't even let anyone know what's been done. You could say this person takes things off the shoulders of another person so that they don't even have to worry about it. They will just know. You know, the person out front just knows that the other things are getting done. Without the gift of helps, ministry would suffer. Worship service, this very worship service would suffer. Things would go undone. So we will say this gift of helps provides support. It supports God's work to be done. When I was thinking about this person, I thought back to my basketball days. Back in high school and dabbled a little bit in college, but on my basketball team, there were a few players that did most of the scoring, right? Few of the players have the highest scoring and are ranked up there. Well, they appeared to be most important players, right? Because they made the points, and that is basically the point of basketball, is to make more points than the other team. But they usually made points because of what we call an assist, because of another player made a pass that then allowed them to score. And without the player that made the assist, there'd be no score. The pass must be done with good timing, that does not get stolen by the other team, that doesn't go out of bounds or cause the shooter to be out of range or knocked off of their footing. The assist, that person is necessary. Person with the gift of helps. In Acts 6, we read about a complaint made by the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked. 12 apostles gathered people around, and they chose 7 from among them to take care of them, to be sure that those widows got the food that they needed, so that the 12 could then go out and be among the people. They could be praying, and they could be preaching, and they could be doing the ministry of the word. It was a special group of people that did not need to be out front. They did not need to receive any recognition for what had been done. They just provided the needed support in order for ministry to take place. So as you think about this gift, can you think of some things around the church or maybe even in your home or out in the community that need a person with the gift of helps in order for it to be done? And I'm actually looking for a response if you want. Can you think of things at church, in home, in the community? Setting up communion. Yes. I have no idea who set this communion up. But here it is for us to share in later. Anything else? Yes. Yeah. Right. Facility, kitchen, bus, all those people. Yes. Luckily, there are no cobwebs like hanging from the ceiling today, and that's only because someone came in here and took care of all that before we came. But they offered us this presentable place, a clean place. The carpets got vacuumed throughout the week. I have no idea who vacuumed the carpets, but someone vacuumed the carpets, right? Yeah. Mentoring. Yeah. Yeah. So great, just being with someone else, a child or an adult. Yeah. Think about it. Keep thinking about that. As you're traveling in your life this week, recognize those people with this gift of helps, because they barely ever get recognized, and they might just need a thank you. And that person may be you, so thank you. But know that your gift is vital and important for the ministry to take place. Another gift that I want us to look at today that doesn't get a lot of recognition necessarily, we don't know the names, we don't know the people that do it, is this gift of giving. In the list of gifts in Romans 12:8, it says, if it is giving, then give generously. People with this gift of giving earn and manage their money in such a way that they then have the ability to actually be able to give and to give above and beyond, to give generously as the scripture tells them to. They see possibilities of how their material resources can be used to strengthen the church and so that ministries can take place, so that missionaries can be in service and in work. A person with this gift of giving provides resources so the kingdom can grow here on earth as it is in heaven. An example of this can be found in Luke 21. It says, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. We also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, the poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. Another example is found in Acts 4 when Barnabas sells a field that he owns, and he takes the money and he lays it at the feet of the apostles. So it's not about the amount of money. The poor widow gave a lot less maybe than Barnabas. So it's not about the amount of money, but that the person gives out of what they have intentionally and they give sacrificially so that God's work can be done. Because of them, the needed resources are provided and available for ministry to take place. Another gift that supports God's work being done that the creative people have been waiting for is craftsmanship. People with this gift use wood or metal, glass, cloth, paint, whatever they can get their hands on. And they put it to work. They put these material goods to work for ministry, to proclaim the message of Jesus. God gives so that people can design and construct items to be used in a variety of ways in all areas of ministry, so that the message is not only heard, but it's seen and it's experienced. Experience in a variety of different ways. This group of people provides then skill and creativity in order for people to know God, to experience God. In Exodus 31, it tells about this. So let's listen to these verses. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Now, I probably should have just stopped there because the names are about to get harder. But here we go. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahishamech, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, the Ark of the Covenant law with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent, the table and all its articles, the pure gold lampstand and all its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings and all the utensils, the basin with its stand, and also the woven garments, both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests, and the anointing oil and fragrant incense for this holy place, there to make them just as I commanded you. Now, not just anyone could make what was needed and work with these materials, with the gold and the silver and the bronze and the cloth and the woods. It was people God was going to fill with the Holy Spirit. When I served at the church in Cocoa Beach, we had this enormous altar up on in the altar area. I mean, the table was just enormous. And so if you had the cross and some altar flowers on it, it still just looked bare and didn't have much to go with and wasn't even very appealing because it was so big and had so very little on it. And so I found this lady in the church who had this ability to offer a decoration to the altar. But I didn't just want it decorated. I wanted it to be done in such a way that it drew people visually into the message that was going to be given. So I would share with her sermon series that I had coming up and where I was headed with the sermons. And she would begin then picturing in her mind things that she could use and ways that she could decorate it and maybe a word that needed to be up there or a symbol of some kind. And she would put it on the table to then draw people then visually into the message that would be given verbally. Can you think of things that get done around church? The need that need people with this gift of craftsmanship and creativity to provide that skill that's needed. Tuesday Tigers. And the Tuesday Tigers, in case you are not aware, work with wood typically. They have a little shed and work area over in that part of the church, and they discover, whether from someone within the group or sometimes the city calls, they discover people that need wheelchair ramps to their homes, and they construct out of wood the wheelchair ramps. They help them in getting what they need from the city, and they help them through the whole process, and they make these ramps then for them. That's typically what they do. They do some other things too, but that's their typical thing. Other people with craftsmanship, creativity. What, Brandon? Brandon's pointing. Do what? Ronnie, yes. Yeah. So we've seen artwork, right? We don't have any of his artwork up today, but very often we have his artwork, or very often you will see him creating during worship. Right. Someone else said something. Crosses throughout the church, yes. So many crosses. I know Andy mentioned in his sermon in the other services, the cross in the office, it was made out of broken pieces, and then it was put together, and no longer do they even feel like broken pieces. It's smooth, and it's encased by this wood that's to be the Christ and the Holy Spirit bonded it all. It's a beautiful cross, and the story behind it's beautiful, but someone made it. Someone created it, the idea, and made the cross. Yeah. Decorations behind me. So every Sunday, someone sets up this altar and someone sets up that altar. And there we go, the gift of tasks. And that's what we're talking about today. And so someone sets these altars up. I don't know when or where or how. I mean, they just come and it's there on Sunday morning. Yeah. So there's all this variety of ways that people come and use this gift. And it draws us into worship, right? It draws us to this place. It draws us then to Jesus. The last gift I want to mention today is this gift of intercession. People with the gift of intercession is this gift to pray. And they pray for the needs of others over extended periods of time. and on a regular basis. They make it a priority in their lives. They will be persistent in their prayers until the answer comes. And whether the answer is today or next year or years down the road, they are persistent in praying until it is answered. They hear about a need. They learn about something going on in someone's life. And they go to the Lord in prayer. And this gift then provides power. Power in people's life. Paul writes to the church in Colossians, and he says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." Paul made it a priority not only to go and to start this church, but then to be in prayer for that church, ongoing daily prayer, so that they would be living in relationship with God faithfully. So our list keeps growing. So it has gone from this. This was our first group of gifts that we talked about on the first Sunday, and then it grew to that list. And then last week we added to it. And today, again, we've added 4 more gifts. So we have this large list of gifts now, the ways God works through us and the means by which he uses to let the world knows about him. It's numerous. And this isn't the extensive list, and we're not done with the sermon series yet. God wants to be sure, you see, that all people know that he loves them, so that we can use then these gifts to share that message of God's love to the world. Some of the ways are through words, some through deeds, some through being present, some out in front, some behind the scenes, some catch the attention of our eyes, others are experienced by our hearing. It's this variety of gifts, a variety of people that come together to be one, to be the church, to be the body of Christ for the world. So I leave you with these questions. How is God gifting you right now? How are you then connecting with all the other body parts, the other people, to be the body of Christ? How does God want to transform a life, the world, through you, as you use your gifts? Let's pray. Lord God, we may not have all the answers to those questions right now, but might we be willing to hear the answer from you? Might we be willing to be open to know our gift or our gifts that you have given to us? But just knowing our gifts is not enough. We must be then moved to action, moved to using them, moved to sharing them with one another, and to living them out in our lives. So I pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come into our lives. Come into our hearts, that we might know you, and that we might then know ourselves, so that we can live as you are calling us to live here and now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This week we were given an opportunity in staff meeting, while we were in staff meeting, to color. Some people appreciate that when they're trying to sit in something and pay attention. We were only given 1 crayon. So the people next to me and one over, they were sharing crayons. And I looked at their pictures in the middle of the staff meeting, and there you have it. I won't tell who the artists are. But what I made note of was that they had the same color crayons, but their picture looked very different. They didn't color it the same at all. And that's how it is with us and our gifts. Even if we have the same exact gift, even if two people have the gifts of helps, or two people have the gifts of craftsmanship, or two people have the gift of giving or of intercession, the way they live those gifts out, it's going to look different. The first gift that I see God used in the world is creation. He created. And he created us all very different to be given these gifts and to live them out creatively. So sometimes we box God in. Sometimes we box ourselves in. We might even box these gifts in that they have to look a certain way. So what I want to encourage you as you go from this place is that to take that gift and to do with it whatever God calls you to do with it. It does not have to look like the person next to you or the person across from you, but to use it as God is calling you right now to sing it out, to shout it out to the mountains, to the world, that he loves the world. So go from this place, living out your gift, living out God's love that is within you. Go in his grace and in his peace. Amen.